We're going to get wheels for this thing. Hi, guys. As you see behind me, I found a really good psalm to begin 2025 with. It's brilliant. And I don't know the last time I read it. It's simple. It's short. It's like a beautiful blade of grass in the psalm front lawn of green grass. So that's where we'll be today, in Psalm 126, if you want to follow along. But before we start, here we are at the beginning of a new year. I'd like us to pray, and to pray for 2025 and for the year to come. Can we do that? Join me in prayer, please. Father, we bow our knees and we bring our prayers to you. First, let's go around the globe, Father. We pray for your peace, your guidance in places where it's so desperately needed. Lord, I pray for peace in the skirmish in Russia and Ukraine. I pray again for peace in Israel and Palestine and the war going on there. Lord, for Myanmar as well, and for other places where innocent lives, where civilians are being killed. I pray for your peace. I pray for wisdom and for level heads to prevail. Father, I pray all around the country. I pray for all around the world. I pray for countries that they would enact just laws, that justice could prevail in the countries of this world. Lord, I pray for the marginalized all over the place. I pray that you would be with them. I pray that you would be kind and gracious, that you would bring those alongside them to give them hope and food and warmth. I pray for churches to do that as well all over the world. Lord, I pray for churches all over the world. I pray for the persecuted church, for the believers in China, and for those in North Korea, for the churches and believers in India. Lord, I pray for your persecuted church all over this earth, and I pray, Father, that you would build them up, enable them to flourish even amidst the difficulties that they face. Father, at home, we pray here as well. Lord, my mind goes right to the tragedy in New Orleans, and I pray for the people there. Father, I pray for the victims' families as they so suddenly lost loved ones. Lord, I pray that you would be with them. I pray that you would be with those that were injured in that crazy crime as well, that you would bring healing also, and that you would bring healing to that community, a community that I'm sure was so stunned. Lord, for the churches that are there, for the believers, I pray that you would use them as sources of healing, as sources of love and of wisdom and of comfort, please. And Father, even right here at home, for our church, for Trinity, I pray for families, I pray for singles, I pray for marriages, right here at Trinity. I pray that 2025 could be a good year. I pray for the ministries of our church, from children to teenagers to adults, that you would use the ministries here to introduce people to Christ, to help them grow up in Christ. Father, I pray that this could be a year that your light would shine so clearly through the people and the ministries here at Trinity. And Father, that we would be a church that seeks to do your will, and that we would be ready always, ready to give an answer for the hope that is in us, and ready even for the imminent return of your Son one day. So Father, in your hands we place our future, and we know that you are good and gracious, and we love you. And now I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you for praying. Okay, a couple of things. It's the beginning, first Sunday of the year. So right as we start out, a couple of quick things. You see this chart all the time if you're sitting here waiting for the service to start. I'm using that just to say, our worship service is our front door. It's our high priority. We love doing this. And I'm so glad you're here. And yet, I also want to say it's important, whether you're a child, a teenager, or an adult, to take the next step. And this is about adults, meaning from beyond here to get connected in other ways. And here are other ways. For everyone, we have groups meeting in homes throughout the week. They take the sermon and they discuss it and they develop a fellowship. There's one in your area as well, sermon-based home groups, we call them. On Sunday mornings in the first hour in that room, we have a class called the Open Door class, and it clearly is that. I would love to have you be a part of that if you're not connected somewhere. It's a great class taught by godly leaders. Sometimes they're way too loud, and I have to say, be quiet. But other than that, it's a great class. Join it if you need to be a part of something. And then CrossFaith, on Thursday nights, Scott Panchik is CrossFit champion of the galaxy, I think. And he has a gym. And on Thursday evenings, he devotes the gym and CrossFaith. It's exercise as well as Bible study. Invite you to be a part of that. Get in shape physically and spiritually. For men, there's Man Up on Thursday morning, starting in a couple of weeks. If you're a man and you're not connected, I'd love to have you be a part of it. For women, a number of things. Tomorrow night actually is Mums. That's for young mothers on Monday, first Monday of the month. The Basics of the Faith starts in a couple of weeks. If this is for ladies that are not necessarily connected somewhere, this is a great place to get connected, to meet other ladies, to get into the scriptures and develop a fellowship with other ladies. A couple of weeks it starts. Would love to have you be a part of that. And then meeting this hour every Sunday, my wife teaches a class called Women to Women. From the youngest to the oldest, they're all part of that class, and it's a great fellowship, and you are welcome as well. Young adults, on Thursday nights, if you are newly married, we have a young adults study in a home. Would love to have you be a part of that also. And then finally, for our retirees, a number of things happen in the senior adult ministry, but it sort of is based around Wednesdays, the second Wednesday of the month, I think. And it's this Wednesday. They have Lunch and Learn, where they come in here. Pastor David leads them in hymn sing. Then they have lunch together, and then somebody teaches, often me, but not always. Great fellowship. Now, for all of those things, we'd love to have you connect. You can go online at the hub, and at the link and sign up. We'd love to have you be a part of it. We love worship, and this is front door. But to get connected and be involved in something else is equally vital to your spiritual growth and your spiritual health. Okay, there's that. And then one more thing. I just want to show you this. We had a goal of 200 girls. Look what we did. That dear one, by the way, I was with her just a couple of months ago. She is the poorest of the poor. And the school where that is, you can even see the wall and everything behind her. Dirt floor, poverty beyond anything you've ever experienced. Look at the joy in her face. Now, what happens is people donate, churches like us or churches in India, they donate pretty clothes like that so that they can learn dance, they can learn drama, and there's stuff for them. So we had a goal of 200 girls to initiate, not rescue yet, because they're not involved in the trafficking system, but they're close, to save them before they get there, to give them education and medical help. And we had a goal of 200 girls in those villages where they are most at risk, and we got 386. God is great. You are generous. We raised, by the way, over $100,000. That's really good. Okay. I'm done. Here's Psalm 126. I've fallen in love with this psalm for New Year's, for the beginning of the new year. I'm calling it yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I don't mean to be a grammar nerd, but I will just for a second. The psalm divides up really neatly into first three verses, past tense. Fourth verse, present tense. Verses 5 and 6, future tense. Yesterday, today, tomorrow. I want us to read it together. Can you see it? It's not too small for you guys in the back, right? Let's read Psalm 126 together, and then we're going to dig into it a little bit, okay? Let's begin. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Our mouths were filled with laughter then, and our tongues with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord had done great things for us. We were joyful. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like watercourses in the Negev. Those who sow in tears will reap with shouts of joy, though one goes along weeping, carrying the bag of seed, he will surely come back with shouts of joy, carrying his sheaves. I love it. That's the word of the Lord. Okay. I came across a song of this song by a group. Pastor David had heard of it. I'd never heard of it. I can't even remember the name. What's the name of it? Bifrost Arts. Anybody heard of that? They're really good. The reason I was looking it up was, as I read this psalm, I got to thinking, okay, if I was to put this to music, would I have it be upbeat, major key, like a worship chorus? Or would I have it slow and minor key and meditative? And as we go through it, I want you to decide. How would you put this song? Would you put it fast? Would you put it slow? Would you put it contemplative? Would you put it rejoicing? Because you're going to see that each of the time zones of this psalm has a different mood about it. And that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at the time zones of this psalm, and we're going to look at yesterday, and then we're going to look at today, and then we're going to look at tomorrow. Okay, let's start with yesterday. Psalm 26, and it's the first three verses there. Yesterday, remembering how good it was. And the key word is reflect. Reflecting on what God has done. Let me just walk you through a few of those verses. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. And the writer is reflecting on the return from the Babylonian exile. The people of God were there in Babylon for 70 long years. For 70 years, they were away from home. For 70 years, they had to listen to the voice of a different leader. They had to bend the knee to another leader. They had to walk past other gods on their way to the laundromat. For 70 years, they were there. And now they're recalling, they're reflecting on, and the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion. He mentioned Zion. It's an interesting thing that he would do that. It's almost like the pet name for Jerusalem in the scriptures. Zion is basically the mountain ridge right outside Jerusalem, and it became synonymous with Jerusalem. And it even became sort of a symbol of the day of hope, one day when everything's right in Jerusalem, in Zion. And so you even hear today the phrase, you used to hear it a lot more in the 1940s, of the Zionists. The Zionists were the ones that have Israel as their homeland. And even in the 1940s, they would take it by decree or by force. And I understand that, but truly Zion is about that day, one day. And the fact that he uses it, there's hope in there. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. And for 70 years, they dreamed. There they sat in Babylon, foreigners, aliens. This isn't home. Will we ever get home? It's a dream to think, will we ever get there? Sort of like Dorothy with Kansas, right? I just could get home. A few months ago, I was with a dear friend of mine. He's the reason I'm a pastor today. Still my mentor. He's in his 90s. And his health is failing. It's one thing after another. And at one point, in a vulnerable moment, he said, Paul, you know what? if a bus came to my front door and its destination said heaven, I'd get on it. That's the longing. The longing, the remembering, the dreaming of home. Our mouths were filled with laughter then, thinking about they got home. Mouths filled with laughter, and our tongues with shouts of joy. And the shouts of joy is referring to, there's a custom in the Hebrew culture. If you watch a movie, a Jewish movie, for example, like the Nativity story, beautiful story. When Elizabeth gives birth to John the Baptist, there are women around her that are celebrating with joy. And what they do, their tongues are with joy. They are flicking their tongues and they are shrieking with joy. It is an amazing sound when you hear it. And that's what they're recalling. The joy that they're shrieking with because of the goodness that God has shown them. And he was so good to them that they became famous, or he became famous for rescuing them. Then they said among the nations, wow, look at that. The Lord has done good things for them. It's like, whoa, they can't believe what God has done for the people of Israel. And then, yeah, the Lord has done great things for us. We were joyful yesterday. It's about reflecting on the goodness of God. And that's how the psalmist begins. So let me ask you today, how's it going? How are you doing? I want you to think back for a moment on 2024. I know so much went on. Think for a moment. How was your 2024? And I want you to think just for a moment on when God really came through for you. Last year. It's hard to remember because we're really good at remembering the negative stuff. Think back to his good providence and how God's goodness surprised you, maybe even in a small way, like a dream. Can't believe that. In a sense, there are echoes of that throughout our hallways during the week in the office. When we look at your prayer cards, and we look at some of the answers to prayer. I can't believe the cancer's gone. Heard that? I can't believe she got that job. I can't believe by God's grace, they were reconciled. How's your memory? Can you remember times of joy? Times of laughter? Times where the goodness of God actually showed up? And you said, wow. The psalm is about God rescuing Israel. So I want to build a bridge just for a moment to our own New Testament rescue. The Lord restored our fortunes. What's your Babylon? God restored Israel from their enslavement in Babylon. Where's your bondage? And where has God rescued you from your bondage? Maybe in 24, he rescued you from the bondage of your debt or the bondage of that sin. Or maybe he rescued you from the bondage of hearing all of those strange and foreign voices telling you all kinds of different ideas and philosophies and never anything having to do with the truth and the grace of God. Maybe in 24, he finally broke you free of that. And since we're talking about God rescuing the people, let's bring it really to the New Testament. Let's point to the cross. and to the time that God, while we were still sinners, God chose to rescue us by the death of his son. We did enough baptisms last year and heard the stories of a number of people who embraced Christ for the first time. Maybe that was you. And if not that year, think back of yesterday's ago when you first came to Christ. You remember? You remember the goodness of God? Last year was the time. There were five of us cronies together at Kent State University. We sort of lost track of each other. One lives in Portland, another lives in Charlotte. And one of us said, let's get together, and we did. We just began telling stories of how we all came to Kent State way back in the day. And we all came with one goal in mind, to party like crazy. And God had other plans for each of us, all independent. And we all told the stories of how God worked in every one of our lives. Steve, who is sort of the chronicler of us, reminded us. He said, Paul, I remember you came to faith like a crazy man watching television. He's right. Matt went home for the Christmas holiday. We thought all is lost. He came to Christ by himself in his bedroom at the Christmas holiday. John, to get away from us talking about Jesus too much, decided to go visit his old girlfriend in Columbus at Ohio State. Believe it or not, Christ is at Ohio State too. And that's where John met Jesus. You remember the good that God did in your life? Do you remember when God answered your prayer? Even when you said, no way. God said, way. And the people around you, the nations around you, look at your life or that answered prayer and they say, whoa. Boy, God's been good to that one. Boy, is God good to them. Yesterday, remember to reflect on what God did yesterday and his goodness. And it might seem like a dream, but it's real. It's real, and it's important to remember yesterday and to remember how good God was. I want you to remember that. And now, as your friend and your pastor, I want to give two cautions, okay, about yesterday. One is to forget it. To forget it. We have a phrase we use now and then on staff. River crossed, bridge forgotten. River crossed. Boy, that was a tough river. And God gave us a bridge, but we crossed it. Don't forget the bridge. I'm notorious for that. Okay, got past that. Let's on to the next thing. Next five things we ought to be doing. We just built a great building. Good. The day after tomorrow, we're starting something new. That's me. No. Remember the bridge. Remember what God has done. Caution number one is to forget tomorrow. Don't. Caution number two is to get stuck in yesterday. Caution number one is to forget yesterday. Caution number two is to get stuck in yesterday. To live in the past. The past was always so good, and I lived there, and you're always telling stories, and nothing's present. You're living in the past. No, don't do that. Today is today. You got to face today with all of its realities and all of its challenges. Yesterday, awesome. Thank you, God. Reflect. But now it's today. Yesterday, we're reflecting. Today, it's about concerning. And again, there's one verb in this whole verse. There's only one verse in the present, and it's in the present tense. Watch what he says. Present tense verb. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like water courses in the Negev. Restore our fortunes. Wait a minute. I thought they were restored. Look at the first verse of the whole thing. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion. And now you're saying restore our... They already were. That's yesterday. You gotta live in today. The exhilaration of God's past rescue and goodness seems to be waning, seems to be fading. The people returned from Babylon, 70 years there, and now they're home. Now they're in the land of Israel. But here they are, and they're still unsettled. There's still foreign threats around them. There's still the potential for famine and for dryness. Look at the, like, water courses in the Negev. What's he talking about there? The streams of the Negev. He's worried about a drought. And if you've ever made a trip to Israel or see pictures of it, the Negev is a huge part of the southeast of it. When you go on a trip, you visit the Negev. It's as barren and as dry as can be. Now, they have their rainy seasons when all of a sudden life can happen. Here he is in today, and he's worried. It's dry. It's really, really dry here, Lord. Please bring the rainy seasons. That's today. Today is concerning, and you've got to live in today. Restore our fortunes, O Lord. We remember the joys of yesterday, and that's good. But we're living today. And I'm not laughing today. There's too many hardships, and there's too many uncertainties. And the dryness is stifling. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like water courses, like streams in the Negev. Roy came home after an exhilarating men's retreat, a great retreat for him. He felt closer to God than he had ever felt in his life. The journal of his mind was filled with entries about God's greatness and goodness. Then he came home from the retreat, and life greeted him. Yesterday was awesome. Today was today. And all of the exhilaration of that weekend came crashing down. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like water courses in the Negev. Lisa and Tom have been married for 9 years. Their picture album of their wedding was dripping with joy. On every page, there was life and light and expectations and a potential for a future that was out of this world. And then I get the concerning email of disappointment. Everyone said that Lisa and Tom would make great parents. But their days of childbearing were drying up, and they had no kids to show. And if you read between the lines of the email, their marriage of 9 years is getting chilly, and their faith is getting very dry. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like water courses in the Negev. Today is the first Sunday of 2025. And the echoes of 2024 and way beyond there are echoes of joy and goodness and the grace of God. And yet here we are today, and we have to face today. 2024 was a great year for Trinity, by the way. After we meet as trustees, I want to come and bring you a report of where we are from a trustee standpoint, and financially and building-wise, we've done great. God has been so good to us, and I can't wait to bring you that report. And more than just the trustee stuff, the people stuff, the life change stuff, the ministry stuff, has been a great year for Trinity. We opened up a new wing of our building. Great year. Thank you, Lord. That's yesterday. And yet here we are today. We've got to deal with today, with the concerns and the responsibilities of today. That's our job. That's our calling as individuals and as a church body. God, please restore our fortunes. And for some of us, we're praying, Lord, renew the joy of my salvation today. Yesterday, reflecting on the goodness of God. Today, concern about the issues of today. That's life. But then there's tomorrow. And we go from past tense to present tense, the future tense, tomorrow, looking ahead to the good harvest. We go from reflecting to concerning to hoping. You're the future. Those who sow in tears will reap with shouts of joy. You hear where that's why when I went to find songs. What sort of tune am I going to put to this song? Is it going to be jubilant or is it going to be minor key? You guys know the song. Maybe you don't. Maybe you do. Help by the Beatles. Help me if you can. I'm feeling down. If you hear the Beatles song, it's a very upbeat, very fast song. And yet he's singing, help me if you can. I'm feeling down. It was a song about being depressed. I listened recently to John Lennon's demo of the song that he played for his just for the band, just him and his guitar playing the demo of the song. It is a very minor key song, appropriate for the words of the song. They just turned it into a Beatlemania song very fast. I look at this psalm and I think, fast or slow? Those who sow in tears will reap with shouts of joy. Though one carries along weeping, goes along weeping, carrying the bag of seed, he will surely come back with shouts of joy, carrying his sheaves. As we read that, I want us to grasp, we're looking at tomorrow, the perspective of tomorrow. Get the perspective of it. I want us to grasp the patience that's necessary to deal with tomorrow, the sweat that's necessary to deal with tomorrow, and the trust and dependence on God. That's all part of how he describes in these two verses in this poetry about tomorrow. The key word here is hoping. You gotta hope, but connected to the hope is the resolve to cooperate, to roll up my sleeves and see what God has in store for us tomorrow. Watch the sweating. Those who sow, the one who goes along weeping, carrying a heavy bag of seed, there's the hard work. There's the cooperation. He will surely come back with shouts of joy. The cooperation is I'm sowing the seed. God either brings the rain or he doesn't. For Israel, the joy of returning from Babylon was joy, but it was joy not without its frustration and not without its struggles and its tears. Think about it. For 70 years, they were away from the land. So for 70 years, this land is laying dormant. Nobody's planting flowers. Nobody's cutting the grass. Nothing. So when they come back, they know they're going to have to roll up their sleeves. There's going to be hard work and patience and persistence and depending on God. Now again, if I may, if I can take the metaphor of sowing and reaping, the metaphor of seed planting and fruit bearing, and if I can take it in a New Testament context, stay with me for a minute. Think of yesterday. And think of the joy and the hope that you have. Maybe for your children, maybe for those friends, for other loved ones, yesterday. Today you come to a day of concern, and so now you're looking at tomorrow, and you're wondering, maybe it's a spiritual concern, maybe it's a health concern, but there is a concern. What's he saying? Keep sowing. Sow the love of Christ to that wayward one. Keep sowing the truth of the word of God. That's the metaphor God used, Christ used, when the sower came and he sowed the seeds, and the seeds were the word of God. Keep on loving. Keep on telling the truth in a good way. Keep on praying, even with weeping and tears. Keep on doing it. Don't quit. And be patient. Trust the Lord of the harvest, that surely he will come back with shouts of joy. Keep praying, keep loving, keep crying for, and then entrust it to God and leave it with him. You know, in a grander stage, the psalmist is praying for the full restoration of Zion, of Jerusalem and the land, the full just restoration that will be fulfilled in the Messiah who comes sowing and reaping the news of the kingdom and of the gospel to all people who respond in faith. One day that will happen. Desmond Alexander is an Irish theologian. I love what he says about Zion. Zion is the holy metropolis where God's ethnically diverse people will live in God's presence. This isn't today, by the way. This is one day. Free from all pain, free from the suffering and the death associated with this present world. One day, that will come. In the meantime, there's a lot of sowing and a lot of tears that will happen. As I start tying this up, if I can give you again a couple of pastoral words of encouragement or advice about this. First of all, don't waste your tears. Don't waste your hardships. Invest them. Spread them into God's goodness and to God's providence. Don't waste them. It's easy to waste the pain and the tears and the hardship. You know how you do it? I do it all the time. I get bitter. I get angry. I get self, oh, poor me. And it's all, no. Invest it in God's goodness and in God's providence. The tears are like seeds, and they can be wasted like any seed. You put them all in one place. You'll waste them. One year, I was fertilizing, not lawn seed, but fertilizing. I was fertilizing our yard like a good husband does. I had the, what's it called? The lawn spreader, just spread. It's called something like that, right? I got the big bag of the fertilizer. And there we are, right there in the front yard. I got my big bag. And I'm pouring it into the spreader. That's what it's called, spreader. I'm pouring it. and the spreader's not filling up. I left it open. So when I took the spreader away, there's this mound of fertilizer on my front lawn. I cleaned it up as best I could. But for all the years of us living in that house, there was this huge bald spot in the front lawn. And you can waste your tears. You can waste your seeds. Or you can invest them in the Lord. You can do good things with them. New Year's Eve, I'm texting with my brother in Cincinnati. 2024 was a really hard year for him health-wise. It ended well for him. And so at the end, he texts me about 2024. First, some choice Italian words that I don't want to translate for you. And then he says, good riddance to 2024. I get it. But don't waste your hardship. Don't waste your hardship. Afterwards, as we were talking more, he's got this great black lab, Bentley. Friendliest dog you ever saw. They brought Bentley to the clinic to see Robert. There's an idea. Bentley needs to become certified as a servant dog. And my brother now is considering it. He's not wasting the hardship of actually going into hospitals with his dog and bringing care and love and prayer to the people that he meets with Bentley. Don't waste your time. Yesterday, 1982, this church was planted in 1982 with a whole lot of joy and a whole lot of expectation and a whole lot of reflecting on the goodness of God. And God did amazing things at the beginning. Some of you were a part of that. 1982 was a great start. And even the neighbors, like the nations around, said, God's doing something there. Whoa! And then came a hard period, a dark period. The pastor became a victim of depression and mental illness, and he succumbed to that. And the church came inward and began having to say, Lord, restore our fortunes, please. And here they were. And now we're looking at a new day. And we're looking at a season of harvest, a season where God is doing, look at 24, but even in the future, Lord, we will continue weeping and we'll continue sowing and we're looking for God to do great things again, and he will. It's interesting. In some ways, again, I'm not into buildings too much, but the opening of the hub is a symbol of the future. And I think of two of the guys that helped coordinate the whole thing. Ray and Dennis, they've been here through the yesterday, the darkness of this day, and now helping plan for the glory of tomorrow as God restores the future and does great things. Surely he will come back with shouts of joy, carrying in the sheaves. 2025 and beyond, the greatness of God will be here. Yesterday, we reflect on the goodness of God. Today is a concerning day. We've got to deal with today in all of our lives. And tomorrow is a day of hope. And because of Christ and what he is doing in our life, it is a certain hope that we can have with joy. Would you pray with me, please? Oh, Father, our year is before you. Our future is in your hands, and we trust you. You were there yesterday in your grace and your goodness to us. You are here today, even with the concerns that we carry, and you're already planning our tomorrow. May we, by faith, may we, by even hard work, cooperate with you to bring in the sheaves of a harvest of abundance for tomorrow. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.